Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960. Brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center, in partnership with San Bernardino County Department of Public Health, encourage you to visit myturn.ca.gov to learn more about COVID vaccines. Keep our community healthy. We are keeping it local. We are featuring High Desert community issues, events, organizations, and individuals you don't want to miss. You can hear us right here, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960, plus listen online at talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Roxanne, as I say almost every Saturday, right, we've got a really special guest with us in studio.
We do. And if you're just tuning in to our show, if you discovered us, this is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, which you can hear Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960.
That's right.
We do have a special guest.
We do. And this lady, I've been wanting to get her on the show for a while, but she's tremendously busy. And when we start talking, you're going to understand why, right? But it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Kanisha Williams. She is what I call a master leadership trainer. She's been working here with our Chamber of Commerce, our school districts, businesses. She does executive coaching. Do I have that right, Doctor?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
And she is also not just doing this domestically, but on an international platform, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And I believe also there's a Guinness Book of World Records or something.
We'll
get to that later on.
Yeah.
Right? But without further ado, Dr. Kanisha, I want to welcome you to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. And so just tell us a little bit about your background and who you are, the things that you have accomplished here, specifically in the High Desert.
Well, thank you so much, Regina and Roxanne, for, first of all, inviting me. Super excited to be here. I was in public education for 22 years.
Yes.
So 7 years in the classroom, kindergarten, first grade, fifth grade, fourth grade. Had the pleasure of being an assistant principal for 2 years and then spent 13 years at a local elementary school as their principal. And in that 13th year, I actually was released from the site and I was doing training across the district. And that's when I got the bug, like, okay, this is what I want to do. We're going to take this show
right
on the road. So 22 years of that. And now I've released and launched into my own business, Transform Nation Training and Development, where I go around the world speaking to encourage people, motivational speaking, but also motivational teaching. Because just to motivate someone without giving them principles to live by, that's not going to help them. I also do coaching. I love training and facilitating and taking times with groups and just really helping them to dig in so that they can go to the next level. If you are breathing, and even if you're not, if you are a rock, I will talk to you.
Well, you know what, Dr. Kanisha, there's so much that I want to talk to you about, and I want to try and get as much of it in our allotted time.
Yes.
This being Women's History Month, really wanted to talk to you about cultivating women leaders, training women leaders, and how is it, or is it different from cultivating men leaders? And what are some of the basic principles mm-hmm. that women might want to make sure they have in their arsenal as they move into leadership?
Yeah, so shout out to all of the women out there, right? Shout out to you just for being a woman, but then shout out to you women who are currently leaders, or there's a spark and a desire for you to go into leadership. Now, should there be a difference in leadership, mm-hmm. Regina and Roxanne? No, there should not be.
Right.
But if I were to tell the truth, there is.
Yes.
So what can we do about that? I think this is for everyone, but I'm speaking to my women now. Ladies, you have to lean into who you are and the gifting that you have been given as a woman, right? We all know that women have superpowers, and this is not a desecration against men. We don't do that. But we are speaking to women, speaking life, that you have a superpower of leadership in you. The first type of leadership is self-leadership. How does that manifest? We have to get up every day. We have to do something with our hair. We have to do something with our face. We have to do something with our nails. If you're an old enough woman, you've got to put something on your top, so you're not swinging around. So just that self-leadership as a woman means that you belong, I'm not joking about this, in leadership. Now, the higher you want to go in leadership, whether you want to now be an entrepreneur or on your job, then that's the more cultivation that you need. I would encourage any woman that's wanting to advance in leadership, find your posse. One of my mentors just told me last week, she owns over 7 businesses, all worth multi-millions. She says, find your Peloton. And so I'm like, okay, Peloton, do I need a bike? She's like, no, slap, 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 Kenesha. Your Peloton, that's your people. Right. That's your group of people that are going to surround you when you are baking, right, in the leadership stew. That's going to be the people that's going to go in front of you, that's going to protect you. That's going to be the people that's going to be behind you to protect you. That's also going to be the people that's going to push you in front when it's your time to shine. So ladies, listen to me. If you want to be in leadership, find your people that are not going to hate on you. They're going to speak truth. They're going to speak life. And they're going to let you know that leadership is in you. Find your Peloton. In other words, find your mentors. And listen, the mentors can be men and they can be women. It doesn't just have to be a woman, but you certainly need a woman in your Peloton.
But let me ask you this, Dr. Kenesha. What inspired or motivated you to do this work?
Yeah, so again, 22 years in public education, my mom was my kindergarten teacher. So I grew up in the classroom, okay. Right? And I said, I'm never gonna do that. Like, heart no. I'm going to go be an actress. I'm going to deliver acting because I've always been a character. So 22 years in education, but then again, I always knew that there was something else. I could not put my finger on that, but I knew there was something else. When I had the opportunity in that 13th year of principalship to be able to go around the school district and add value to schools, teachers, custodians, classified, certificated, I said, okay, this is it. Coupled that with me being on the Maxwell Leadership Team by Dr. John C. Maxwell, where I saw people doing this work full-time, where they would go into organizations, nonprofits, school districts, and deliver leadership principles and values, I saw that coupled with the opportunity to practice. And here's what my mentor said. I will never forget this. Her name is Lori Clark. Shout out to Lori Clark. She's the superintendent of a school district. And here's what she said. She said, Kenesha, when I was struggling with, okay, do I leave? Do I stay? I love what I'm doing, but there's something else. She said, what I love about you as a person is you're not running from, which oftentimes we do when it gets hard. She says you're running to, and there's a clear difference. So I knew that there was value specifically around leadership, values-based integrity leadership, that at 45 at the time, with no husband, no kids, right? Not a bunch of money in the bank. I knew there was value. So I was willing, ladies, listen to me, be willing to bet on yourself first. Dr. John C. Maxwell says, no one's going to raise the price on your value. So if you think you're worth 99 cents, they're going to pay you 95 cents. So you have to know your value. So when she spoke into my life as a leader and said, it is clear that you're running to something. And then my other mentors, my Peloton group, they all said, we can see this. I knew it, but my Peloton group confirmed it. And then of course, I'm a believer. That was the confirmation. And then I took a leap. And I have zero regrets for taking a leap and betting on myself, not for myself, but to add value to other people that look like me, but people that also don't look like me. That was important.
Yes. If somebody is listening and they want to have a conversation with you, or they want to get some information on training, how would they reach you?
Great question. So my website is www.drkenishawilliams.com. My name is K-E-N-I-S-H-A-W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. You can look me up on the website. There's a contact me. I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram, trans_form_nation. And then Facebook, transformnation411 is my Facebook hashtag. I'm always posting videos. I believe I'm supposed to be light in a world that is unfortunately getting darker and darker each day. So that's what I do. I ignite, I inspire, I illuminate, I motivate, because I believe in people.
Yes. And so, Doctor, we're definitely going to have you back because there's so much to talk about. But I want to leave, and maybe this is where that Guinness Book of Records fact comes in.
Yes.
But I want you to share one thing that you're comfortable in sharing yes. with our listeners that people may be surprised to know about you.
Oh, my gosh. I fail all the time. I repeat, I fail all the time. For the third witness, I fail and make mistakes all of the time. So don't be moved by what you are seeing on social media by anyone. Anybody that is successful, John Maxwell calls it, we fail forward. Mm. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. So if you are afraid of doing something new, do it anyway. If you've messed up, pick yourself back up and do it again anyway. So I fell and I fell often. I fell big. Guess why? Because I have big dreams. Your girl has big dreams. And in order to make those dreams come to pass, you have to fail forward. So do not be afraid of failure. I just released, my friends, a new book back in October called No Fear, K-N-O-W Fear, which means you have to understand fear
right.
so you can put your hand out and then say N-O to fear to reject it. So be comfortable with the uncomfortable, because anybody that you think has reached success or significance, they have kissed failure in the face more oftentimes than what you think.
Those are some great words, great inspiring words. Because I was just going to ask you, Dr. Kanisha, how would you build confidence? But failing also helps do that.
Absolutely. And again, believe in yourself. Explore new things. It's a mindset. Confidence is built in your mind first. What do you think about you? It connects back to what I said earlier. No one's going to lift the value on us, folks. We have to know, ladies, listen to me. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy with the comparisons. How does my hair look or it doesn't look? What is my skin tone or what it doesn't look like? What is my makeup look? What, all of those things are great as a woman, but they do not define you. Listen to me. Your beauty or what you think may be the lack thereof does not define you. Now, you may say, Dr. Kanisha, I always see you glammed up. Truth. But that is not what makes Kanisha Kanisha. It is because I'm a person of value that values people, and I want to go out and add value to people. Nothing in that value statement has anything to do with those long lashes that I love to glue on. So make sure you get your value from the right place. And that is who you are. Beautiful women, it's who you are on the inside. That's what this is about. Not about this outside structure that society has caused for us to lean on, which now gets into deadly comparisons, which is one of the reasons why there's a disparity.
Yes.
With leadership. It's because of these deadly comparisons. Ladies, know who you are in your mind first. Think yourself happy. Think yourself positive. Think yourself into understanding that if I made a mistake, welcome to humanity. Because that's something that every living, breathing human being has done. And again, anybody that you see who you think has made it, they are very comfortable with making mistakes.
Yes. Well, we want to thank you for that. And before we leave, can you tell us what, how you are now entered mm-hmm. into the Guinness Book of World Records?
So I am on the Maxwell Leadership Team with Dr. John C. Maxwell. And we just had our international biannual conference in Florida last week. And so they came to me and said, hey, Kanisha, we checked with the Guinness Book of World Records. There's no one that holds this record. Would you do it for us? So I said, okay, it depends. No, of course, my answer is always yes. And so we had a room filled with thousands. And so they had, I want to say 100 or over 100 people lined up. Like if you would run down and in 30 seconds, I high-five the most people in 30 seconds, and I am the first person ever in history that has set that world record.
Yay.
So it should be coming out here. Hopefully in the next release, you will see that. So super excited about that.
It's the small things.
It's the small things.
Uh-huh. Yes. No, Dr. Kanisha, we want to thank you for sharing with us, for speaking life, purpose, substance,
yes.
and truth. We want to thank you, and we are definitely going to have you back because we're getting ready to go into spring, and so we're going to be doing spring cleaning.
Yes.
And we're mm-hmm. going to need to know what to do with all that stuff that we're cleaned out.
Okay?
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's another beautiful Saturday in the high desert. And you know what, Roxanne? I think this is the first time that we've had a mother and daughter.
I know. I'm excited.
That we interviewed, yes. Right? These two women are extraordinary. I guess, really, I don't know anybody who's not extraordinary, right?
Okay. Everybody.
Because everybody's extraordinary.
Everybody is.
But they really are extraordinarily talented. They're talented in the arts. They sing, they dance, they act, they direct, they write, they produce, create. They're creatives. Yeah. And I am just really happy to have my friends who are here with us today. Carla and Chelsea Franco, welcome.
Thank you.
Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for having
us.
Good morning. Welcome.
And I would love if you would tell our listeners a little bit about what you've been able to do over the years in your career in front of the camera, on stage, that kind of thing. And then we're going to delve a little bit deeper and talk about some of the other things that you're involved in that have required you to really work behind the stage, right? And be the brains behind the organization. So again, welcome to the show, and we'll start with Chelsea.
Oh,
hi.
I started because of this one sitting right next to me, my mom. I wouldn't be doing any of this if it wasn't for her. So she instilled a love and a passion for the arts from pretty much day one. Feel like I, you know, came into this world singing, but she helped hone my skills. When I got old enough to make decisions on my own, I decided I wanted to do this for my whole life and not just for a hobby. So I started working regionally in theater here in California, moved some to the East Coast a bit, and then came back home and started working at Disney. I was in the original world premiere cast of Frozen Live at the Hyperion. I was one of the original Elsas and became the official face of Elsa for the Disneyland Resort.
Yes.
And then from there, I moved to the national tour of Wicked, which I was the standby for Elphaba for 14 months. And then I came back home, went back to Frozen for a few more minutes, and then the world shut down.
Yes.
So
we were hit with COVID.
Yeah.
Yes, the pandemic.
Yeah, it was a big shift for the arts.
Absolutely.
For the live performance industry is still sort of working hard to get back
trying
to the way
back.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it definitely changed. That definitely changed the way that I looked at what I offer as an artist, because I was only theater. So during the pandemic, I taught myself how to audio mix and record and film edit. And I taught myself how to create websites and just doing a lot of those types of things behind the scenes.
Staying creative, though.
But trying to stay in that world because I wasn't quite ready to, like, completely turn my back on the arts. And I'm still not ready. As things started opening up again, I, in partnership with my mother here, decided to start a little big band, and it was just supposed to be this one-time thing, and then it kind of spun into a world that I wasn't ever intending to be in, but now am finding myself really learning and discovering and becoming more aware of how that side of the industry works, which I had no clue prior.
And that music that you're doing with the big band, what era is that from?
It's, we call it traditional big band, but it's like prior to swing, so it's like 30s and 40s. And then we do push into the 50s and 60s of like traditional like standards in the Great American Songbook. But swing is probably what most people understand as that style of music. But it is its own, big band is its own style.
Yeah, and I hope that a lot of our listeners had the opportunity to see your Christmas show, which was beautiful.
Thank you.
And it really had that element of old Christmas, right?
Thank you.
It really did.
Yeah, that was
And so
goal.
I hope they had an opportunity to see that, and I hope that there's some plans in the work to do that again this year. But Carla, I want to talk a little bit about you and what you've been doing, because actually I met you many, many years ago when my son was little, mm-hmm. and I was looking for somewhere to put him for summer camp,
mm-hmm.
and you had SRO summer camp, and I was amazed at what you were able to do with these kids in a week,
mm-hmm.
especially mine. And so all those years ago, now he might have been 5 or 6, I'm not sure. He is now 30. So that's how long we have mm-hmm. known each other. So tell us a little bit about what you have done and how your career, because you've got kind of a diversified career.
Yeah. I started out when I was young as a musical theater. I was a dancer first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to California in 1980, I wanted to get involved in film and TV, and I wanted to be a stand-up comic. So I started putting together stuff, went to the Comedy Store, you know, Laugh Stop, all of those places.
Right.
And then I got involved in film and TV. I had an agent, and I did a few things, a couple of movies, some TV episodics, that kind of thing. And then fast forward to about a decade later, I went back to school. I got my master's. I started teaching on the college level in an unrelated field.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started having the yearning to go back. And so a friend asked me to start choreographing for him. So I did. And it began, we moved to the high desert when Chelsea was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And there was not a lot of arts.
No.
There were not a lot. I mean, there were small little tag, you know, Theater Arts Guild. There were small little groups, community theater groups, but there was nothing of note, and specifically for kids to be trained up in the arts.
Right.
So in 2005, I started, we incorporated as a nonprofit, Standing Room Only Productions, and we started holding summer performing arts camps for kids. And we trained, we did about 16 camps, some here in the high desert, but we also took it to Nashville for the flood victims. We've taken it down to Vista. We've taken it to Aquinas in San Bernardino. So we've gone around with our camp.
Wow.
But our goal was to give kids an opportunity to sing, dance, put on a show in 4 days.
Yes.
So we would usually have about 100 kids, and I would train youth to train them, and we would put on an exhibition, and then we started doing book musicals and plays, mm-hmm. and we gave them an opportunity to do, you know, learn to act and learn to team play and be motivated by the arts and to spark their own sense of internal creativity.
Yes.
Then we started getting a whole plethora of young kids that was their first experience. It was a first-hand experience to do something other than after-school sports. So, you know, in 1993, when the National Endowment shut down of the arts,
mm-hmm.
and in the California Arts Council kind of fizzled out for a while, there's an entire generation of kids that didn't really get exposure to the arts, and that's right when we came into the fullness of having a lot of kids just wanting that experience.
Yes.
So we are still going. We have taken some offshoots. Our company is the one that actually sponsors her little big band, Retro mm-hmm. Canary Club. And so it started out as a fundraising opportunity. And it ended up that people saw it and said, can you come and do this corporate event? Can you do this?
Yes.
How about at the college for Veterans Day? Mm-hmm. So it has spread, and it was so non-intentional. So that's kind of, I think that the high desert is willing to step out into new tributaries of the arts, but someone just has to lead them and give them that idea and then show them to the water and let them drink, you know?
Yes. And one of the things I want to talk about is, you guys have, I don't even know how to articulate this. I don't know. It's not necessarily a relaunch, but you have really created the Cultural Arts Center of the High Desert,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
A lot of work.
And you guys have like a season, right? You have a season
mm-hmm.
of shows
do.
And activities and things. Talk to us about that.
Well, we do now have a season. The fire happened, for those of you that don't know, there was a fire that took place on the side of the building during COVID in August of 2020. And the city actually owns the building.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, their insurance came in and started the external renovation. And we had an agreement with the city at the time that whatever was on the inside was our responsibility, being the kind of nonprofit that oversees it, and then everything on the external was the city's. So we did a GoFundMe in November of 2020. We mm-hmm. raised about $10,700, and we went to work putting the inside back together and refurbishing, upgrading, beautifying it. So there were a lot of problems, and of course, during COVID, everything was moving at a snail's glacial pace. Right. We finally were able to open in the fall of last year. Summer was our beginning of our season, and we did a July through December season, and now this is 2024, and we have the entirety of this year booked. Now, not every weekend is booked, but we do have about 25, 26 weekends out of this year booked with shows, musicals, concerts, recitals, that type of thing. So it is an opportunity for the desert to have a standalone. It's the only, because it's a former USO building.
Yes.
Historic landmark.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And it's been renovated to actually have theater seats and a proscenium with a curtain that raises. So it's the only really freestanding little tiny theater. Mm-hmm. It seats 155, 160.
Right.
And it's the only place where people can go if they want to put together a show or a play, or they want to do a comedy thing or a poetry slam.
Right.
Or
and it's not attached to a school, which is typically right, all of the theaters right. here in the High
or
Desert.
Or auditoriums okay. or the so, college. You know,
right. this is more independently run.
And the history of this building is that, because I don't want to gloss over it, I think that we don't have enough appreciation for what's here in our High Desert.
I agree.
But that building was a USO building, and if I'm not mistaken, it's one of two that are still standing in the country?
It's the second one in the United States, only to be usurped by one, I think, in Louisiana.
Just by like 2 days or something.
It was a couple of weeks, like around Thanksgiving, and we opened our building here in Victorville in 1941, in December.
Okay.
21st.
Fascinating.
And
yeah.
so only just a month prior, just after Thanksgiving, the other place opened. So we're the second, and we are one, I think, if my research holds true, I think we're one of about 15 standing USO buildings left in the United States.
We did a bunch of research when we were working for the GoFundMe to try to build money to restore.
Right.
And she did all this research, and she said there was like about 13 to 15, and since then, a few have closed, have been torn down
and
all over the country.
You know, the woman that put this thing together, her name was Imogene Garner Hook. You might recognize Hook, you know, Elementary, Hook Junior, Hook Park. Right. So she was a woman that lived here. She put together $2,000 seed money, sent it to FDR. They sent the blueprints, and they sent us $40,000 to make that building happen in 1941.
Wow.
So they hired all of the workers from this area, and they put that building up and in less than 2 months. And it opened for servicemen to go and have R&R. So
it was a really community-minded project.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're and very much what you're doing with it is allowing us to have that experience and opportunity. So let me ask you this. If people want to find out about what shows are going on, what the season looks like, how to get tickets, if they're interested in possibly hosting an event, if they're interested in donating some money, how do they reach
volunteering
out?
Or being backstage.
Being in the shows.
Being a hospitality member in the lobby and take tickets and sell concessions.
So many options.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Well, you know, I learned how to build websites, so guess what I did?
Guess what she did.
I created our website. It's highdesertarts.org.
Okay.
And all of the information there is helpful for anyone just trying to find out, because we do have a whole history section of the building, so you can do a deeper dive. But also, auditions are posted there. Tickets are sold there. Just announcements of our season and events that are happening.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming out today and sharing with us.
HighDesertArts.org is the main theater. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, which would be the Cultural Arts Center of the High Desert, the long name.
Yes.
That's how you would get in touch for anything theater related here in the High Desert.
Thanks for listening and being a part of our High Desert conversation. We invite you to share ideas, events, interesting people that you as a community want to hear from. Reach out to us and send us an email at roxannescafidi@edbroadcasters.com and let us know who you want to hear from and who we should be talking to.
High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center in partnership with San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. Encourage you to visit myturn.ca.gov to learn more about COVID vaccines. Keep our community healthy. We'll talk to you next weekend.